And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
We all say goodbye. 2021. Hello.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, December 31st. Happy New Year's Eve. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, all year long, Tass Mellis.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tassie. We got the Bass Master ripping them lips, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. Hey-o. The International Man of Mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Last but not least, making the magic happen all year long, it's J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. This is our 298th podcast of the calendar year. Huh. Incredible stuff. Classics through and through. Shout out to the stream team. Make sure y'all like and comment and subscribe. Do what you got to do. Email us your questions and your comments to nodunks@theathletic.com. Come 2021, we'll be stepping on the beach once again. So get your cues in and go grab yourself some No Dunks merchandise at nodunks.com. All right. Let's make it a classic here to end 2020. Let's do this in style. We've got some good wedgie news a little bit later. We got tweet of the night, but let's start with a little is this news. Yeah, I'm going to throw some headlines at you guys, and we're going to debate whether or not they're newsworthy. And the first one is Jaylen Brown matches Larry Bird. Lee, remember that guy? Streaky shooter. Jaylen Brown matches Larry Bird with 42 points in 29 minutes. Trey, get us started. Is this news?
Oh, this is news if you're in the Jaylen Brown fan club, and I am, because what a game from JB. Bringing to mind another JB. I think Jaylen Brown is the next Jimmy Butler, and just seeing the way he has exploded out of the gate for the Celtics this season, if you're a Beantown boy like me, you gotta be loving it. 42 last night, and he just looks like he is completely seizing the opportunity with Kemba Walker out. You know, since he's came into the league, Jaylen Brown has played with a high-usage point guard basically his entire career. It was Isaiah Thomas, it was Kyrie Irving, it was Kemba Walker, but now there's a little bit more space for Jaylen to get to work out there. He's skilled enough, he's strong, he's athletic, and just like Jimmy, he's got that desire to be great, to expand his game. Jimmy made an all-star team the first time, his fourth season, age 25. Jaylen Brown now, year five already. He's only 24, but they feel like they're on the same path. They just keep getting better and better and better. You see Jaylen getting to work in the mid-range game. His playmaking's coming along a little bit. I don't think they're exactly identical players, but the fact that they can dominate at the wing position using their athleticism and their strength, I think, is just so huge. It's been so fun to watch Jaylen Brown early this season. Kemba Walker's going to come back, and it's going to be on him to figure out how to fit alongside Tatum and Brown, because both of those guys deserve to have the ball all the time. Jaylen has been incredible to start the season. He's better than Larry Bird. You said it right there, Skeets.
Yeah,
put him in the Hall of Fame now.
Yeah, like through five games, I think it is. I saw at Brian T. Robb tweeting this. 28 points per game for Jaylen Brown, 56% from the floor, 44% from three, and a very respectable 6.2 free throw attempts per game. So he's doing it everywhere, Lele. I thought last night against the Grizzlies, I mean, you know, Grizzlies missing a lot of guys, but the Celtics took care of business, but he was stepping into like pull up threes in transition. Like he did that like three or four times in this game. He's special. And it brings me to the question for you, Lee, because we've been sort of throwing it around. Would you trade for James Harden if you're the Celtics? Tass, you talked about it. Now you would say, yeah, let's try and trade Kemba. But let's say the Rockets are like, sorry, man, we don't want Kemba. We already have an injured point guard in John Wall. We want Jaylen Brown. Would you trade Jaylen Brown and let's say Marcus Smart for James Harden, if you're Danny Ainge and the Celtics, Lee?
I wouldn't do it right now. No, I think Jaylen Brown is really starting to show the potential that he's shown over these last couple of years, and it's starting to come to fruition now because he is a two-way player. Mm. He definitely could be in the running for an all-defensive nod this season. And the Celtics' identity is to work on both ends of the floor, and to give up Smart and Jaylen Brown, that's two of their critical defensive pieces. And on the offensive end, Marcus Smart, he's a little bit hot and cold, but he does contribute. But what you're seeing, I think, here from Jaylen Brown is that, you know, all-star nomination absolutely is in play right now. He's the most improved candidate as well. I mean, again, it's a very small sample size, but he's really showing all the hard work that he's put in because he hasn't been a super reliable or consistent shooter throughout his career, but it's starting to come together because he's realizing now how to get to his spots and how to find the right place to be in to shoot the ball well. The only thing oddly about him is he's not a great free throw shooter. He's only shooting 67% this season, which is right at his career mark. You'd think that would sort of creep up a little bit over the years, but it hasn't. But anyway, that's a minor tweak there for his game that he needs to improve. But I just feel where the Celtics are, that with Brown and Smart going forward, I mean, clearly James Harden, you know, a fantastic offensive player and would be, you know, would he improve the team? I mean, yes and no. I mean, I think what he gives you offensively, they would certainly miss defensively. And that's really what the Celtics like to hang their hat on, is to be that rock solid defensive team. So I think right now, I don't think the Celtics would give up Jaylen Brown. I think Marcus Smart, they would if it was to involve Kemba Walker. But I think Tatum and Brown are virtually untouchable for the Celtics at this moment. Things could always change, of course, but I don't think Danny Ainge pulls the trigger if it costs him one of those two young stars.
If it costs him one of those two young stars, wow. I definitely think James Harden would be high on the priority list. I know Jaylen Brown is playing out of his head right now, and it would be hard to give him up, no doubt. Jaylen Brown talks an incredible game coming up to the postseason every time, and he just hasn't been able to do it in the postseason. I can't wait till this postseason because it seems like he is growing every single year. He is an absolute monster this year. And I liked how they played defense last night, how they just destroyed the Grizzlies in the first quarter. They absolutely were all up in Memphis and turned them over and over again. 22 turnovers for the Grizzlies. I think they had like 8 steals in the first quarter, as Kelly Dwyer pointed out. That's Celtics basketball. So yeah, they needed that win. Although Jaylen Brown has been really good, the Celtics haven't been overwhelmingly good to start this season. They basically beat the Bucks on a bank three, and then they came back and beat the Pacers, and this was their most emphatic win. It's a bad Grizzlies team, so they should do that, and that's how they won this game. I think as far as James Harden goes, the Celtics keep striking out on superstars every single season. There's a lot of talk about going to get a superstar. It'd be hard to give up Jaylen Brown, but I think there's a lot of desire on Danny Ainge's part to get something done. In my opinion, they're definitely looking at it anyway.
Yeah, about the Celtics' sort of weird start, Jared Vice at The Athletic wrote, I thought, something that was spot on. Maybe it really touched home as a Raptors fan, because he wrote, the first week of the season has been all over the place for the Celtics, but at least Tatum and Brown have made them comfortable that the future is locked in place. 100% true, and I bring that up as a Raps fan, because you can't say the same for the Raps right now with them struggling, not getting a victory, but they're sort of two guys that you look at potential building blocks or stars for them in Siakam and Van Vliet. Well, they haven't been all that great, right? Where Tatum and Brown are special players. And you say, yeah, go get the superstar, but the question is, well, is Brown a superstar? I mean, is he going to be, like, do we consider Jimmy Butler a superstar? I don't know. I think some people do, some people don't. But if I'm with you, Trey, if he's on that trajectory, it looks sort of like that, you could be that two-way player. Well, then are you possibly just giving up a superstar for another superstar who's older than Harden, who's obviously limited maybe on one side of the floor a lot more than Jaylen Brown is defensively? I don't know. I'm torn on this one. I'm just here to your take, Trey, because you're obviously a huge Harden fan. You've made it clear you're in the gym. You've got me screwed Jaylen up now. Brown. Now I'm going to call him Jimmy Brown because you've made this comparison. You're in the Jaylen Brown fan Jimmy club. Brown. Would you make that deal if you're Danny Ainge and the Celtics? Let's say it's Brown and Smart and whatever else to make it happen for Harden. Would you do it?
I can't believe it, Skeets. I think you found the first guy I wouldn't trade for James Harden.
Wow.
Even I can't believe I'm saying it out loud right now. I just kind of feel like the Celtics, they're not one piece away. They're not a James Harden away. If you traded Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart, whatever it is, one of those two and another guy. That's a really, really thin team, because we're already talking about Javonte Green playing major minutes for the Celtics. He had a nice game a couple of nights ago against the Pacers. I was like, who is this guy, number 43, playing for the Celtics, Green? Is he just a made-up player? There was no way I was going to look it up until after the game. Javonte Green. But if you're asking for Javonte Green to suddenly become a starter, I think that's going to be tough. To me right now, Tatum and Brown will be, I mean, they're already knocking on the door of superstardom right now. Tatum for sure. Jaylen Brown is making his case right now. This is not the year that the Celtics are going to win the championship, even if they were to add James Harden, I don't think. But 3 years from now, if Tatum and Brown are your two best players, you're looking at the new Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, which we've all dunked on a lot of times after the 3-1 lead. But still, if you can have two star wings in today's NBA when there's not a lot of great wings out there, I don't know if you want to make a move like that.
Well, let's hear from you guys out there in the stream team and listening to the podcasts. Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart for James Harden. Would you do it? No way. You know, obviously from the Celtics side of things, I think the Rockets would be ecstatic with that type of return. Yeah. I mean, it's similar to like, well, that's a whole other question. Would you rather have Ben Simmons or Jaylen Brown if you were the Houston Rockets? It's interesting as well. So let's hear your take on that hypothetical. But he was amazing. He was so good last night, Jaylen Brown, that Brian Scalabrine on the call just kept saying, geez. He drops like three G's in the game because he can't believe what he's doing. Again, especially those like pull-up in-transition threes. We're like, whoa, okay, you added that to the game. That's dangerous. All right, our next one here, fun headline. Spurs Becky Hammon, first woman to direct an NBA team. Yeah, she made history Wednesday, Tass. First woman to act as head coach during an NBA regular season game. After Pop got tossed, she took over. She's an assistant coach, of course, with the Spurs. Took over in the Spurs' eventual loss to the Lakers, 121-107. Is this news? Becky, first woman to direct an NBA team.
No, it's not news. Until somebody gives a woman a head coaching position where she is the leader of the team, this won't be news. A woman needs to be given that title and not just this title of directed an NBA team for a half while the head coach was given the axe. Somebody needs to give the proper due to somebody who obviously, in Becky Hammon's case, deserves it. The same headline happened during Summer League where she was the Summer League head coach, first woman to direct a Summer League head coach in July in Las Vegas in the blazing heat. Who cares? Somebody needs to give somebody the title. And it's probably Becky Hammon along the way. I'm not sure if it's going to happen in San Antonio. It sure seems like she is going to be the one. But we need more women making decisions in our lives, just like when the VP is heading the Senate very soon, hopefully. This isn't a headline to me. I don't know if you guys are tired of reading this directed a team and was an assistant coach and kind of jumped over to the head coach's seat for three quarters. I think I'm tired of it. Somebody just needs to give the head coaching position. I'm not into these directing headlines. When did anybody ever direct a team? Anyways, what does that mean? I mean, give somebody the head coaching title. Yeah, is she a conductor for a half? Cool.
Give her.
Why is it even a question here in 2020 that a woman has gotten a head coach? We've seen it. It obviously in the WNBA, we've seen it in the big three where men are being coached by women and are extremely happy with the job that they're doing. I mean, I don't see this as a story at all.
Well, I think what's interesting, wasn't there a game in like 2019 where Pop got ejected, right? Hammond's on the staff, of course, at the time. She's been there for a long time. And so they all sort of took over. But then after the game, Pop said, well, assistant Tim Duncan was the head coach. Like, he was taking over responsibilities to finish out the game. Before games start, do, like, head coaches have to, like, put, like, a little ranking? Like, well, if I get tossed, then this person is in charge. And then if that person gets tossed, the next person in charge. Like, that was always a little confusing to me because it was sort of like she was also coaching in that instance too. But you know, this one is official because he pointed at her, as Becky said, which is really funny. And look, all the quotes coming out of this are phenomenal. Becky says it is substantial, actually. You know, it's obviously a step in the right direction, a direction you're talking about, Tess, that's inevitably going to happen and should. DeRozan was like, I loved his quote. He's like, Becky played, She was damn good, by the way. And any player who knows the history of women's basketball knows what she meant to the sport. You don't think twice about it. She's one of us. When she speaks, we're all ears. LeBron was asked about it. She's been putting in the work. And anytime you put in the work, you should get rewarded with opportunities. But yeah, this is great. But she should have a head coaching job by now. And maybe she's waiting in San Antonio, Taz. Maybe she is waiting for Pop to eventually move on, and that will be her opportunity there, unless another team comes calling. But what do you think, Lili?
Yeah, I think because it doesn't actually count as a victory for her, or well, a loss actually, because they lost the game, but it doesn't count on her record is what I'm trying to say there. So
it's not official yet.
No, it's not. It's not. I mean, it's great that she was given the task this time, because Tim Duncan obviously is not there either anymore. He didn't come back this season. But so it's good that Pop did actually say, okay, you're filling in for me here. Mm-hmm. But it's still, until we see Becky as a head coach getting a wins that register to her name, you know, this is more just sort of like, well, Pop, it only happened because Pop lost his mind for no real reason there. I mean, he certainly didn't need to get two technicals on that call.
No.
So it was more circumstance rather than like we're designating Becky as the head coach tonight. Now, if he did that prior to a game, then that would be different, even though, again, the record would still count as Pop's, because you can't just say, you know, how it works in interim in the NBA. Those wins and losses don't count to a coach. They go to the other coach. So, but it would be good if he said before a game one day, said, tonight she is the coach and I'm going to sit back and just watch her do everything. That would be different, even though, again, it still wouldn't count on her record unless Pop actually...
Weren't the Spurs doing that in the bubble, or am I mistaken? Wasn't Pop, like, sort of allowing some of the assistant coaches to sort of take over the head coaching duties within those games? Am I crazy?
To be honest, I can't really remember.
That's definitely how Tim Duncan got his first win last year, right? Was that Pop had a personal reasons game that he missed, and he said, Tim, you're taking over for this. Right. It's all about that point with Popovich. When he says, you got him, you got to take over. But, you know, it's only a matter of time, honestly, before Becky Hammon gets a job. So many Spurs assistants have gotten jobs throughout the league. There's not a great track record of success among Spurs assistants, but they all get jobs, which I think is huge. And now that we've seen Becky Hammon officially coach an NBA game, direct it, whatever you want to call it, Tim Duncan was the acting head coach. The headlines are still out there. But now that we've seen it in the NBA, like Becky was saying, it is momentous, even though I was trying not to think about it and just try to win the game. Now that we've seen it in a regular season game, maybe that makes it easier for a team to say, yeah, we're going to be the team that hires Becky Hammon. Somebody should. And it'll be a huge story once it finally happens.
Yep, for sure. All right, next headline. Within that same game, LeBron extends a record streak of 10-point games to 1,000. Yeah, LeBron celebrated his 36th birthday by becoming the first player in NBA history to have 1,000 straight games with at least 10 points. Lee, this is a weird one. Is this news? 10 points. Lee, you could put up 10 points in his NBA game.
It is news. I mean, it's a credit to LeBron's longevity and his health and the fact that he kept his body ready for the last 13 years. I'm sort of surprised when you go back through his record that it wasn't even a little bit longer and he hadn't broken this record a little bit earlier. Because, I mean, when he came into league, he's averaged 20 points in his rookie season. I mean, he seemed to be able to score. Last season was the only season ever in his career that he hasn't led his team in scoring. Anthony Davis led the Lakers, so which is incredible. But, I mean, this really is one of those things where you tip your hat to LeBron and just say, it's incredible that you've been able to stay healthy this entire time. Because, you know, that's really what often happens is a player later in his career simply gets injured or misses games or gets injured during a game, which happened to Kevin Durant. That broke his streak. He got injured during a game and couldn't do it. So that's great for LeBron. You know, and it's another record that Michael Jordan doesn't have. It's one that LeBron has, and it's one that's probably unlikely to be beaten, certainly anytime soon. I don't know who really would be able to do it, but that's incredible for LeBron. Now, I don't know if you guys saw it or not. Now, also, I will say, the NBA had an article up about it, and they did note that in two playoff games, he did have two single-digit games. So this is only a regular season.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, 2011 and 2014 with the Heat. He did have single point games in the playoffs.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, do you count those? I don't know. It's the same game. I don't know. Who cares? But anyway.
It's a game.
It's a game. You can make stats do what it say whatever you want, really, when you fudge them the right way. But anyway, I was just wondering if you guys do know. You might have seen it, so you might get this quiz pretty quickly. But the sort of top five guys for most consecutive 10-point games in NBA history. Can you name them?
In history or current players?
In history.
Okay.
In history, yeah.
Well, MJ's second, isn't he?
Yes. This is according to the NBA.com article. So Jordan was second with 866 consecutive games.
Kareem.
Karl Malone up there.
Kareem and Karl Malone, and then number five.
Is it tough? Like much more difficult?
No, I mentioned
Timmy
him.
Duncan.
No, I mentioned him already.
You mentioned him already?
Yeah, I said his name.
Oh, Kevin Durant.
Yeah, Kevin Durant. Yeah. He got injured. Yeah. So yeah, he had a streak of 562, but he got injured in the first minute of a game a few years ago there with the Warriors, which ended his streak. So that again was sort of the point I was making with LeBron. The fact that he never, you know, in some game twisted an ankle early on, you know, or just even had a tweak.
Well, he does twist an ankle early on, and then it looks like he's going to be out for 10 weeks the way he's selling it. And then he's like, laces his shoe up tighter, and then he's good to go. Yeah.
So, I saw your tweet last night, Skates, about LeBron actually never leaves the game. But every time it happens, people are like, oh, man, LeBron's down. I don't know. This might be the one.
Yeah.
It's never the one. It's never the one. He's coming back.
I did ask that. I was like, I know it's happened, but I can't recall a game where LeBron got injured in the game and then didn't return that game to play. You know, outside of, let's say, a blowout or something like that. People did point out, well, Christmas 2018, he hurt his groin.
Mm-hmm.
And he did leave that game and didn't return. And then he missed a couple games after that. But he had obviously hit his 10 points by then. Didn't happen early enough in the game. It is a pretty astonishing thing that the last time he failed to score 10 points in a regular season game was January 5th, 2007. Tass, I mean, it's just, I mean, most of his single digit scoring games are when he was a rookie, if you really look at it and you don't count those playoff games. It's pretty wild. Do you think it's newsworthy, though?
Sure. It's a heck of a streak, although all it does is make people remember the series against the Dallas Mavericks when he had that 8-point game in the 2011 finals, right? That's what it reminds me of. So, it's a nice NBA.com article. That's exactly where it fits.
Right,
I mean,
right.
It gets aggregated. It's like an automatic article. It's probably something like a Daryl Morey automatic tweet. It's just something that like automatically generates when he hits 1,000 straight games. That's good. It's very good. It's very good. It is crazy that he's 36 freaking years old. I can't decide if that's too old or too young. It's just like he's been around forever.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, he's got like a, you know, he's still in his prime at 36 years old. He is trying to change the game in terms of when an NBA player's prime is. That makes sense. But it's also like he's 40 and he's really old. I don't know. I can't tell if 36 is accurate.
Yeah, it was very weird. I was telling the girls yesterday, it's LeBron's birthday, you know? All the greatest things have come from 1984, your dad included. The only thing that sucks from 84, Wonder Woman 84, apparently. But it blew Isla's mind that I would be older than LeBron, but it also blows my mind that LeBron is the fifth oldest player in the league. Like, that doesn't seem like it makes any sort of sense, right? That he's still out there able to dominate at his age the way he is, still be the best player in the league. What I want to know is, where's the assist streak, man? If you're such a good passer, where's your assist streak? Or are you really a scorer at heart? Is that truly your best skill?
He might be overrated as a passer now that I think about it. Yeah.
Is there an assist streak, though?
That's a great question. Well, somebody's got one out there somewhere.
I think Magic Johnson has the double-digit assist streak, but, I mean, LeBron won't get anywhere near that. Although, you know what? Maybe, well, because there's probably not that many, you know?
It's got to be Magic. How many games do you think Magic did it, Lee, in a row?
In a row, I mean, probably like only 50 or something that.
Oh, I would say more, no? That's tough. That's tough. I don't know. You can look it up if you want there.
I'll see if I can find it, yeah.
Okay, just newsworthy enough, we say, with the LeBron one. Maybe...
Here we go. I've got something already.
I think he's helped that it was on his birthday. I think that helps the headline.
Sure.
Tass, yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead there, Lee. What do you got?
I believe it's John Stockton with 37 games in a row.
Oh, that's it.
I believe.
Wow.
Yeah, I believe.
All right, LeBron should set his eyes on this record. Eh?
He's going to be 37 next year. What a perfect time to break it.
There you go.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever.
Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, next one here. Got a photo to show you with this headline. Masked Kawhi Leonard dominates in return, leads Clippers to the blowout win over the Blazers. There it is for everyone joining us on YouTube or watching on YouTube. Kawhi is a fascinating mask. This is awesome. He's obviously playing in this because he had the stitches in his mouth and his jaw was hurting. Trey, is this news? The masked man, Kawhi Leonard.
Oh man, Skeets, this is huge news. We should all feel blessed to have seen an all-timer NBA mask happen in real time, right? Like these things only come about every once in a while. Like the last notable masks we've seen are maybe like LeBron's carbon fiber mask. Mm-hmm. Maybe that time Manu Ginobili had to wear a pad across his nose one, and they just kind of taped it to his face. But this was incredible. I don't think I've ever seen a nose out mask, period, right? Like when you're buying a Halloween mask, a nose is kind of like the first thing you cover. I don't know why, but this was just killing me. It only works for Kawhi as well, because it's like if there's one player in the league who doesn't need to move his lips very much, it's Kawhi. He might just go to this mask from now on. Even when he smiles, you remember that clip from when he was with the Raptors and he did that tiny, tiny, tiny little smile? Wouldn't even show his teeth. This is perfect for Kawhi. Doesn't have to say a word. Doesn't have to smile. He just has to go out there and get buckets. Like Ziggy Starfox says, Hannibal Leonard. What a look.
Yes, or Clarice I also saw going around. But Hannibal Leonard is good. Yeah, it's a unique mask, Tass, because we are, you know, we do usually see the covering of the nose, right? Or around the eyes. That's where the injury occurred. But with Leonard's case, they're like, no, we gotta take care of that. The lips and the jaws. And so we get this crazy sort of hockey-like mask here. What do you think of this one?
It sucks me in. I just can't stop looking at him with the hole in his face. I think it's ingenious, really. I think the biggest thing that NBA players have a problem with when they wear a mask is their nose and just breathing. And you always see them adjusting their mask. Like, oh, this is bugging me. At some point, they toss it to the side. This one, I think it's perfect. I think, yeah, you can take a nice elbow to the nose right there. You don't want to be playing Karl Malone in this mask, but I think he'll be comfortable breathing in it. Either way, if he's a mouth breather or a nose breather, I think he's good.
He's good. What do you think, Lili?
It looks like, though, we're going backwards with mask technology because remember Kyrie and LeBron had the cool black mask. They looked awesome.
Yeah.
This one looks like someone's just like got big like masking tape and just gone like, let's just stick that plastic thing over his face. That will do.
Well, like CJ Zero, I think, tweeted, like, he basically was like, Kawhi made this himself.
It looks like he sort of hacked away at that middle part that usually does cover the nose. It's weird. It just, I like, when you think of Kawhi Leonard and someone said, here, you're wearing this tonight, you could just imagine his reaction. Like, what? What is that? Give me one of the cool masks.
Really? Least, you know? I thought you were going to say just like, okay. Yeah, you just slap it on.
I don't know. That looks like it has been slapped on, literally. Yeah. It must be uncomfortable.
It does look like a throwback. This looks like a mask you would see in the 70s when they're like just figuring out mask technology.
Yeah.
In the second half, like the straps were all twisted on it. It really looked like he's just like, whatever. I don't got to talk to anybody anymore. Don't hit me in the face.
He said his teammates were jokingly calling him Leatherface because he had the mask. It worked, by the way. He had 16 points in the third quarter. You know, he was a bit of a terror in that quarter as they ran away from the Blazers. They got the victory. They helped keep Damian Lillard in check. He only went for 20 points on 3 of 14 shooting. So they got the victory. It's got the mask. It's got to stay. It's got to be like a Rip Hamilton thing here now. Yeah. I like it, too. It's like, because we always joke that he's like robotic and stuff like that. It sort of like takes that to the next level. I'm all in on Hannibal Leonard.
If they let him make that mask chrome, then he would look like an android. Like,
awesome.
Let him loose. Let him off the hook here. Make it like the NHL, where if you're a goalie, if you have to wear a mask in a sport, you should be able to do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, and you brought up the black, like, carbon masks. Didn't the league say, like, you got to stop wearing those, I think? Because yeah, Kobe had it once upon a time, like, the cool Batman vibe, and they were like... No, the mask has to be clear, I think, is their ruling.
Yeah, I think so, because I think as well Kyrie had an awesome night in Madison Square Garden where it was like, but that's cool, man. That
I know.
Cool. And that will encourage people to wear them if they're going to be a little bit safer.
Right.
You know? So, bring it back. Bring it back, man. I mean, it just, that one looks like that Calvin Murphy one. Remember the big sort of helmet thing that he wore back in the day?
So, yeah.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, what's the harm with having the black mask? I mean... Like, why would they ban that, I wonder?
It looks... Yeah, you're right. I'm with you. It looks so cool. Speaking of masks, too, do you think there's, like, a... Not, I don't know. Not a ban, but, like, a mask dress code for the coaches? Like, the masks are very simple. And I was, like... I was thinking about it. Like, sometimes they'll have a little team logo on it. Like, some of them, but not even a lot of them do. Like, have they been told, like, you can't go crazy with your mask? You can't have, like, the Whittler on your mask and stuff like that? Like, I wonder.
Well, I think Popovich just had, like, the sort of surgeon mask on his as well.
Oh, I know. Some of them, yeah. I know.
But Steve Nash definitely had the Brooklyn Nets one on there. So, And Rick Carlisle had, I think... was his like an NBA one? I think he had something.
Maybe, but like, why doesn't like Tibbs have like a personalized one that says ice on it? You know,
or a big smile, a big creepy Joker smile. Yeah,
right. Like, I'm surprised they haven't got creative, but maybe they're not allowed to. Who knows? All right, so we're all up on the mask. I'm sure most of you guys are as well. Final headline here. Kyrie Irving gets hot in the fourth as the Nets outscore the Hawks. 145-141. Not an overtime game, Lee. That was the final score in regulation. Is this news?
This is news. Yeah, this was a good game. This was the game of the night, actually. Yeah, really lived up to the hype, which was great because the Atlanta Hawks have been going in unbeaten and they were going up against the best defensive team in the NBA last night and put 141 points on them pretty easily, too. I thought they did a great job. What stood out to me, though, was just at the end of the game, the Hawks are just missing that ability to close out games. I think that's what it was. Kyrie Irving struggled early on and then just got cooking in that fourth quarter, the 17 gorgeous points, because every time he gets hot, he's so much fun to watch because he's just in his zone. Kevin Durant had the quietest 33 points I've ever seen last night. I looked at the box score and I thought, I can't believe he finished with 33 because everyone scored. Everyone seemed to go out there and get some buckets there last night. But what I really sort of stood out to me last night was Trae Young here in his third season. He's got little bits of Kyrie Irving in his game. He shook him a couple of times and went inside and scored the layup. He's got that variety to his game. But he's also got some James Harden-esque qualities of getting free throws.
Oh, yeah, he does.
And that is something that's interesting because I think Trae Young to this point has flown under a lot of radars because the Hawks haven't been good. He's been good. He's made an all-star team. But seeing him last night when his team needed some buckets and he would do that sort of back into his defender.
Oh, that's the Chris Paul right there.
Well, yeah, Chris Paul, the embellishment there.
The stop. Go around a guy and then just stop and the guy runs into you in the back.
It'll be interesting to see if how the narrative changes there on Trae Young because he's absolutely fishing for fouls and he gets them. And, you know, he's at that stage where it's like he's not a big enough name just yet that everyone's talking about him. But if the Hawks do continue to keep winning and he keeps playing and putting up, you know, 30s and 10s, he's going to draw more attention. So I'm interested to see what the if people change on it. Because right now I think people love seeing the highlights of Trae Young. The deep threes, and he goes inside. He's got some nice finishes, again, like Kyrie Irving. But will he start annoying people? That's interesting. But great game, really good game. Really good to see the Hawks in their early season promise in a big stage really put it up there against the Nets. And I like Steve Nash after the game because he was asked, you know, he said, we came into this game with the best defense. That went out the window. And it was a back-and-forth game. You know, the Nets closed it out, and Steve Nash just said, yeah, I think I need a beer after the game.
Yeah, I definitely need a beer, as Steve Nash said. Because there was a lot of offense. Taz, did the Hawks prove anything to you that they can sort of hang with some of the better teams in the in the East, at least in the Nets, because they had beaten up on some sort of crappy teams. But, you know, they were in this game.
Yeah, the Hawks have grown since last year, and Trae Young has grown since last year. I think it's easy to forget because Trae Young had such a phenomenal offensive year and that he went to the All-Star game that the Hawks stunk on that end of the floor. They just kind of were waiting for Trae Young to do something on every possession. They had the 26th ranked offense last year. And I think what Lloyd Pierce has done with that team early this season already, how everybody is buying in. And by that, I mean vets on the bench. They're big signing, the big deal that they somehow pried Bogdan Bogdanovic away from the Sacramento Kings' fingers was a big story. He's been on the bench, and Lloyd Pierce has decided, you're going to come off the bench as our scorer, but we need a balanced lineup, very Spurs-esque. We might not start our best five guys, but we're going to start Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter on the wings because we want a nice balance with our defense in the starting lineup, and then the offense can come off the bench. And then Clint Capella, you're sort of our like JaVale McGee superpower, you know, our glorified JaVale McGee playing only 20 minutes a game, even though, you know, you were a big acquisition last year. And John Collins, you're not going to get the ball when Clint Capella is roaming in the lane. You're kind of going to be a tertiary guy, but then when he's off the floor, you're going to be our backup center. And then you got Gallinari coming off the bench. So there's a perfect balance. I'm shocked with how they know what they're doing on every possession. Unlike last year, it was just watch Trae Young go. Just give him the ball. And there was a great possession at the end of the game that showed last year, on a broken play, they would just get the ball to Trae and watch him do something. But it was a broken play. DeAndre Hunter had the ball up top, and it looked like Trae Young was going to come get the ball. But as soon as two guys went to Trae Young, he turned and went to the basket and had a little drop-off pass that was a foul because he's improved, because they all have their roles. And again, John Collins led the team in shots last night, but he didn't force it at the beginning when Clint Capella was on the floor. He took his spot. He picked his spots and scored 30 last night. I think everybody's just really fallen into their role. To watch an 80-point quarter in the fourth quarter is why Steve Nash needed that beer when it was 43-37 for the Nets. They got to do it again on Friday in Brooklyn. You know, one weird thing of this current schedule is that you got to do it back-to-back games in the same city. So they're going to be playing again, which is kind of strange. This is a little baseball-esque. I'm buying the Hawks as a playoff team. If they're buying in already to knowing their roles and doing this, I'm very impressed with all these vets just kind of filling in. And you know Rajon Rondo wants to get to the playoffs because he gets a $750,000 bonus if they get there. So I think they're all pushing in the same direction, which is great for a young team. It's shocking. Yeah, those three wins, not great teams, but yeah, they held their own with the Brooklyn Nets, and yeah, it's the Nets probably win this game by 20 if Kevin Durant has a good game and he shot 50% and had 33 points, and that sounds nuts. But he was just missing. He was clanking. So their D, the Hawks D has to get better, but
oh yeah, it does.
they're working. They're working.
Why? Why? That game was awesome, and they all agreed we're not playing any defense. It was the second hottest thing I saw all night after episode 5 of Bridgerton. A steamy one, my friends. Also, Vince Carter is incredible on the call. He could be the Tony Romo of the NBA. I would say you had to be listening to this on the Hawks broadcast, obviously. But his how close he is to his playing career, right? He was playing last season, so he still obviously has relationships with these guys, and it's just cool to hear his insight being so recently in the NBA. There was that take that John Collins had late lefty in the lane. He finishes with the tough left hand, and Vince Carter says, oh, that makes me feel good. I taught John Collins that move. It makes me feel good that he's going to the left hand, trusting the left hand. I just thought he was great on the call, and this was just such a fun game to watch. When two teams that are actually good come in and say, we're not playing any defense, we're going to see who can score the most, that is my ideal kind of basketball game. It's different when it's like the Bulls versus the Wizards. Nobody's playing defense because nobody can play defense. When it's more of a choice, it's fun to watch, and those two teams are just bombing away. Bogdanovic was great hitting shots with zero space. Kyrie and Kevin Durant there in the fourth quarter, you're like basically guaranteed to get 30 points from those guys in the fourth quarter. That's going to be tough to beat come playoff time.
Yeah, you knew the chances of the Hawks winning this game were not great when like Kyrie was like, I don't know what he was at that point, like 3 of 15, like heading into the fourth, and they were like in the game, and you're like, at some point he's going to find his groove here and these are going to start dropping. Yeah, he just absolutely took over. It sucked for the Hawks too. Gallinari made his was that his debut actually last night?
Yeah.
No, it was, he played
in the first game, but
he did play in the first game, but he had missed a couple games. He's back, but then he gets injured again. I mean, and rolls the ankle. You could see he was visibly frustrated. He didn't return to this one, so that sucked. That was a bit of a bummer. I felt bad for him. And I will say this too, you're right, Trey, it was fun. There's no defense, but fourth quarter when Kyrie starts cooking, it would have been a nice opportunity if he was available for Lloyd Pierce to be like, hey, Chris Nunn, have a go at trying to slow him down. That's what you're known for. You're not known for much else, but you are a great defensive player, especially on the perimeter. Slow him down, man. Make life a little more difficult. Now, he's not playing yet for the Hawks. That's how deep the Hawks are. We're talking about guys that weren't even playing, but they could have used.
Well, that's what KD said after the game too, right? He's like, there's 7 or 8 starters on that team when I look at them. And they definitely are. And like Tass is saying, you know, we're a week and a half into the season. They're all bought in right now. We'll see how it turns out throughout the season. Yeah. If it, you know, some guys start playing well and some don't and blah, blah, blah. Get me some time here and there. But they're all on the same page right now and it's working.
Yeah, it definitely helps when there's W's there. Even if you only play 20 minutes, let's say if you're Capella, but you get the W. I know not last night, but up until that point. That helps, but absolutely great point. What happens when the losses start coming and then you're like, hey, I could have helped us win that game. Why am I only getting X amount of minutes? That'll be the real coaching challenge from Lloyd Pierce. But so far, he's knocked it out of the park, I have to say. And yeah, and that was a bit of a moral victory, honestly, it was for Hawks. Because they're right there against one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference, maybe in the league. And they were hanging. They were like, I don't know if they did have like a gentleman handshake before saying we're not playing defense tonight. But they were right there. And that was, go watch the highlights. A lot of fun, that game.
And watch the Hawks broadcast. I can't agree more. Vince Carter, absolutely phenomenal. A great debutant on the broadcast. like he's in on Bridgerton. Got to go watch Bridgerton. But like Dominique Wilkins has been there forever as the color commentator. And then you get a younger guy like Vince Carter. It pushes you a little bit. I think it pushed 100% Dominique.
100% agree with that. Yep.
To pick up his game a little bit. They were sparring back and forth. They were great. I think they're really good. And Bob Rathbun was also great. Vince Carter, you know, was basically like every guy on every team is one of his former teammates. So Jeff Green is on the Nets. He goes, oh yeah, my former teammate. And Bob Rathbun would say, hey, Vince, we don't have time for that. I mean, we'd be here all night if you talk about every one of your teammates. But yeah, him and Neek were. We're going back and forth. The only thing about Vince, like when John Collins had that nice, beautiful Euro step at the end, going left, fantastic stuff. And he said, yeah, that makes me so happy. And then he started talking about it for like 3 possessions. We got to get to the next player, Vince.
Come on, Vince.
Let's go.
We've just spent the last few years talking about how old Vince is, and now Tass is saying how it's great to have a young voice on the broadcast, which is great. But I actually was watching the Nets broadcast, which is always great with Ian Eagle and Sarah Kustoc, especially when Jared Allen throws down a dunk and Ian Eagle says, a throwdown.
Right. No, they're one of the best duos. Yeah. And like, Bob and Neek, not my favorite duo in the league, so I was 100% on board adding that that youthful Vince Carter to the broadcast. It did help. It made for a more enjoyable watch.
You're right, Tess. It is pretty funny. That guy has played with like every single player in the NBA. They got to get him on some national games.
I think they said he holds the record, right? Is it like 600-plus teammates he's had, Vince Carter?
Yeah, they said that, and I'm not sure if they were joking, but it's probably right.
I mean, but he's played on a ton of teams. He's
had literally played the most years in the history of the NBA, and he played with a lot of teams.
261 teammates, according to Hoops Hype.
Oh, that's it. I guess a ton, but yeah, they were joking with the 600, I guess. All right. Is it a record, though, Lee?
Apparently, yeah. He holds the record. 236 is next, and then 230. So you want any quick trivia or not really?
Shaq in there?
No. Let's do the top five. I'll tell you this. The top five, one of the players is still playing. One of them is sort of not officially retired, but he was playing in the bubble.
Sort of not retired, but playing
Well,
in
he
the
played
bubble.
In the bubble. He was down in the bubble.
Haslam?
But he didn't... No, but a Haslam-type guy.
Wow. Is Kevin Willis on there?
This guy was a super high draft pick, Chicago Bull for more early part of his
career.
Tyson Chandler's
number three. Yeah, yeah. Number two is a guy who you probably associate with the Washington Bullets. I think he had the first $100 million contract.
Juwan Howard.
Yeah. Number four is the guy who's still playing, and he gets traded every year two or three times. No. He's still playing. Where is he right now? He's Detroit, I think. No, is he Detroit or Oklahoma City?
Luke Ridnour?
No. He got traded, I think, three times in the summer, in the offseason.
Trevor Ariza.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And he has one more teammate than the guy at number five, who we had him in the starter studio, but never on the show. Very fashionable dude.
Kevin Willis.
Yeah. Oh, you did say it. Sorry. Okay, yeah. Kevin Willis, yeah.
So, wow, nice poll, Tess. That's good. Yeah. All right, there we go. And make sure you gave credit, right? That was Hoops Hype?
Mm-hmm. Hoops Hype. That's okay, where it came from, yeah.
HoopsHype.com. I don't know if it's a .com. All right, so that's a little Is This News. But maybe the biggest news of the night, Tass, we got our first wedgie, my man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
2020 may have been a poop year, but at least we're ending it in style, as Mark Folwell, Derek Harper, and Jeff Skin Wade noted on the call.
And see, oh, great pass.
Powell inside. Oh, and it's a wedgie. There's also a foul, though.
You only get to say that a couple of times a year.
It's the first ever foul wedgie.
That might be the first ever foul wedgie.
You look forward to that wedgie. Like a little kid getting some candy or something. It's a wedgie.
I've never seen that before.
I don't think I have either.
The foul wedgie. Right.
First time for everything. Right?
So if there were no foul, then of course, as we know, that's a jump ball in center court. Yeah. But a foul means two free throws for Powell.
Never seen anybody get so excited about a wedgie, man.
I get excited about weird things.
It's fun.
that's a fun thing to get excited about, Folwell. Mark Folwell really went for it. He said, that's the first ever foul wedgie. Well, Jeff Skin Wade pulling a real no dunks, really hedging by saying, I'm not sure if that's the first ever foul wedgie. That seems like the first. God, I've never seen one of those either. I don't think that's the first foul wedgie. I'm not going to go back and check, but I'm pretty sure we've had a foul wedgie before.
Yeah, once or twice. It definitely has happened. That one was fairly unique. I mean, it's a hell of a foul. He gets all hand and then the wedges. Mm-hmm. It's rare. It's definitely rare. We don't have a lot of those.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, I like it though, because they showed like 100 replays of the wedgie. When it's a foul, you got a little bit of time to show stuff off before they get to the, you know, if it's a regular one, they're getting to the jump ball pretty quickly. Let's get back to playing. But you're getting some subs during a foul.
Yeah.
Take your time. You talk about letting it breathe. They did.
Yeah, they did. I love, we got to make Harper when he's sort of mocking Mark going, it's a wedgie. That's got to be a drop. I love how he's like joking around, but good stuff. I'm glad it was the Mavs broadcast getting the first one here to get us started. And I saw people asking, look, we got the shortened season tasks, you know, 72-game season. Our goal is usually 50, but are we changing the goal? Like, have we knocked it down? Are we going like 44, 45? What do you think?
It seemed like the predictions in the preseason were that we're going to get to 50. So.
Well, yeah, they were, but maybe we should change that.
After a week here
after
with
a rough
just
start.
One wedgie.
Yeah, yeah. I
think should we go 40? I mean, yeah, I guess 40. That's a good chunk of games. 10.
Yeah, Schumann, I asked Schumann on Twitter
150 less games, right? So that's 1080 games versus 1230 games.
Schumann had it at 44-45 because the playoffs are the same, you know, length. Mm-hmm. That he thought that would be maybe, I think 45 is perfect if you ask me, but
sure.
Who cares? We'll get to 50 anyway. nice to have our first one. And they come in bunches
finally.
So yeah, we'll hopefully get one. Maybe we'll get one tonight to really end out 2020 in style. We can only hope, but a great call from Mark. And by the way, shout out to everybody that lets us know when they see a wedgie. You can't watch all games. I actually didn't watch any of the Mavericks Hornets games until I caught the highlights this morning. But when you let us know on Twitter or Instagram, you try and tell us like when it happened in the game. Because at first there was a bunch of like, wedgie, like in Mavericks Hornets. But I'm like, okay, hold on. I didn't see it until like 10 minutes later. I wasn't on. And then I'm like, okay, now where is this? And I'm trying to find it. So if you can let us know when it happens in the game, that really helps. And the other thing is, Tass, people said, well, hold on. That wasn't a shot attempt because it was a foul.
But it is because he went to the line.
Right.
Well, it's not a field goal.
It's not a field goal attempt.
Yeah, but it's in the play.
No, I agree. I mean, that is definitely recounting.
Yeah.
I tried to make it clear to some people, like, we don't count ones where, like, there's a whistle on the floor and then somebody chucks it up.
Yeah.
Like, a second or two later and then it, you know, wedges. We don't count those. It's got to be sort of in play, which that one is.
That's in play for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like when coaches review a challenge, review a play. It's like, is it part of the play? Then yeah, it's a wedgie, right? You know, we don't want to go all JD saying, hey, it's Wonder Woman 1984. The song came out in October. It's not chronologically possible that this. You know, we don't want to get all crazy here. Yeah, if it's part of the play, it's part of the play.
It counts. We got one. We got, either 44 or 49 to go. It's your call, really.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Okay, Lee, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
A lot of pressure here, Lee.
Yes.
Final Tweet of the Night of 2020.
Yes, there it is, a lot of pressure, but I think I've got a good one which really sums up what 2020 has been for everyone, and it comes from Australia's greatest basketballer, Lauren Jackson, out in Australia there. Yeah, so McDonald's Australia must have been operating offering a code for a free coffee, and this is the one that she got here, and she says, thanks for the coupon code for my end-of-year free coffee. I thought it was appropriate to share considering the year was just and I thought, yep. That sums up for everybody, really. Everyone wants just to get 2020 over. No, they're already done with it in Australia. They've already moved on to 2021, and we're a few hours behind. So, yeah, very happy that Lauren Jackson, she's been nominated too for the Hall of Fame this year, and I think she will get in. She has got quite the resume. I'm just going to quickly run through it here. 8-time All-WNBA team honors, 7-time first All-NBA team there, 5-time All-Defense, 3 MVPs, 2 championships, Defensive Player of the Year, Finals MVP. And I got to meet Lauren when I was in Australia, actually, last year, too.
Nice.
And her mum and dad were both a bucket as well. They were both a walking bucket. So,
are they going one-on-one?
Yeah, just in the family there. Great to see. Great to see Lauren. And looking forward to her making the trip to Springfield and entering the Hall of Fame.
I think that's a lock. For those listening, the code was FKU2.
Oh. Yes, sorry.
That was the redeem code there, or the Q code, like a bump it or something like that. Yeah,
I'm just glad to see a couple of things from that. First of all, Macca's is the McDonald's Australia official account. Hilarious. Somehow Lee Ellis has completely taken over their country. And number two, shout out to McDonald's for also not really loving you two, because I say FKU two as well. Final, overrated, man. You had your time in the sun 30 years ago. We're off that.
Yeah,
Lee. It will be a beautiful day tomorrow. It's 2021.
Sunday's coming up. It'll be bloody. Lee, you've seen U2, right? Yeah.
I've seen U2 several times. Yeah, across several continents. The thing is, U2's PR really took a hit when they laid at their album in what, 20, when was that? 2011 or so, when it was just automatically on your phone?
Yes.
That really is.
I guess it was your. Was it your iPod?
On iPod.
Yeah.
Was it iPod?
Was it? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I thought it was on iPhone. Anyway, yeah, they took a PR hit there for that. But well, because people are like, hey, listen, if I want your music, I'll download it. But I will say, one of the greatest shows in person to see. Like, Bono puts on an incredible show. Well worth going to see him if you can. You know.
How's Ed? No, Edge.
Edge. Yeah, they're great. Larry's great. Adam Clayton's great. They're all great.
Okay, good. Oh, man.
Yeah, in fact, if you want to hear my five favorite U2 songs, go to the Sirius XM app right now and go to the U2 channel. See a little top five of Lee Ellis in there.
What are you talking about?
They've got their own channel on Sirius XM.
Yeah, but how do you have the top five there?
Well, because they said, hey, listen, if you're a fan of U2 and you want to be on Sirius XM, send us an email. So I did. And then I recorded my...
are you serious right now?
Yeah, check it out. Yeah, yeah. I'll bring it up right now. Let me show you right now. This is
okay, this is exciting now.
Oh, my God.
You're starting to make me like you too.
Well, you should after you hear my top five songs anyway. Let's have a look here.
So hold on. So they just sent out this call like, hey, are you a U2 fan? You said, yep, I am, serious. And then you emailed in and said, these are my top five songs.
So I don't know. Let's see if you can see this up here or not.
Totally. Just read them for us, man. It's a podcast.
Yeah.
Desire. Is that
okay? No, so it's so it's
Why
Desire
didn't you
Radio.
Me this before?
Well, I didn't know we were going to talk about you. Yeah, 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 yeah. Here, let me just see if I can get the head start here for you.
No, just read us the songs, man.
What, you wanted me to read the songs?
No, I do like the idea of us trying to figure out the songs by showing us a grainy picture and then barely playing through the headphones.
Why do you keep holding up your phone?
because these are all the fans who have done their top five songs, and I'm in there at like number... That's me right there. That one.
So number four?
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like ranked like that. It's just that's where you go.
So who, like, are these celebrities or just random people?
No, random, just fans, just telling your stories. And I'll tell you the five that I put on here. See, because I didn't want to put the top five songs that anyone's heard, you know, like, so I went my five. I went with Numb from the Zooropa album at number five. Because it's the edge, the lyricist and the vocalist on that one. Great video, by the way. Really good video. What did I have at number four? I had The Fly from Achtung Baby, just an incredible song. Bono even had the big fly glasses in that. Looked great. That was their that was a big album coming after Rattle and Hum, because that came after the Joshua Tree, which was their biggest album.
Why is, when you start doing things like this, turn into Rain Man? I don't know why.
I can see why they put you at number four. Got a lot of facts.
And then I had a song from the All That You Can't Leave Behind album. It's called In a Little While. Now, the reason why that one is symbolic is because Bono wrote that for his wife, Ali. But also, Roxana and I, when we first started dating... That was one that we used to slow dance to. We even had that at our wedding as one of our first sort of dance songs. It was a beautiful song.
Is that why you've been slicking your hair back more? For that Bono look? You gotta do the next episode with giant sunglasses on.
Right. And then at number four, I had Walk On, which was the actual one after the... this was the live studio album one after the 9/11. Remember they did that big fundraiser? All these bands did the big fundraiser, and they did Walk On. Beautiful, beautiful version of it. So I put that one in there at number four. Yep. And then at number one, or number five, whichever
way. Oh, my God. Yeah. You
ranked them 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. They're like, sir, can you rank them 1, 2, 3, 4? Just take them, would you?
And then Running to Stand Still from the Joshua Tree album was number one. Now, the funny thing is, the Running to Stand Still was the first U2 song I remember hearing, right, off the Joshua Tree album. So I heard that and I thought, oh, that's a cool song. So imagine then what you thought of the band after you hear that, and then you hear the rest of the Joshua Tree album. You're like, oh my God, this is the greatest band of all time.
Right.
So, I think the Joshua Tree was the first album I ever actually bought with my own money.
So where did you hear the song first? On the radio in Australia?
Like my brother was playing it, I think, and I remember just thinking, oh, that's a good song. And then he said, yeah, well, listen to these other ones from this album. And I was like, oh, wow, this is a great album. Some say the Joshua Tree is like the greatest album of all time. Some say that.
Some say your brother Nick is the greatest Elvis of all time.
So, they've had some bangers. I mean, Achtung Baby is an incredible album. All That You Can't Leave Behind is an incredible album. How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb, great album. Rattle and Hum's good. Boy is good.
I think...
Just let him talk, guys.
I know.
Just
I think if we let him, we'd be here an hour. I really do.
What's that?
I think if we just let you keep going, we would just be here an hour. Every song that U2's ever recorded would be mentioned. Wow. All right. I'm going to have to go check this out now. The Sirius. So is it just Is it a video of you counting it down?
No. It's just audio. In fact, let me tell you when it's going to be played today because I've got the.
What are you talking about?
It's going to be on. So it's on
what
the.
What do you mean?
It's going to be on SiriusXM.
So I could be on SiriusXM and hear, "Hi, I'm Lee Ellis. These are my top five U2 songs."
Yes.
And here's one.
That's a good thing you picked deep cuts, cause
borderly during the day, we gotta give you more responsibilities. So you're like, Roxy, hold on, I gotta write my top five U2 songs.
Well, it was tough to come up with just five. Man. Like, I could have gone 15 or 20 deep there on the U2.
What time? 10 p.m.
10 p.m. Eastern tonight. It's going to be. Hang on. What day is today?
What a way to ring in the
December
new
December 31st.
Yeah. See, she's got. She says here Thursday, the 1st of the 1st, which is Friday, but 10 p.m. Eastern. But it's anyway. It's you go to the U2 channel 32 on Sirius, and then go into the U2 Desire on X Radio, and you can listen to it anytime.
Yeah,
sounds a little complicated. What you looking for? Shout out to Sarah Green's dream team.
Hang on, one sec.
What the hell are you doing?
We're still doing a show, Lee.
All right.
SiriusXM Radio. Oh man. Okay. Well, I'm tuning in. I gotta go listen to this. How long is it?
Oh, it's not very long.
No, I doubt that.
45 minutes.
No. They said to keep the intros like 2 minutes or less. Mine were pretty short, actually.
There's an intro.
Yeah, there's an intro. It says, hi, I'm Lee from Atlanta, Georgia, by way of Melbourne, Australia, and these are the five songs I desire most on SiriusXM.
Why'd you pull out your sexy voice?
Yeah, I did. I did put the sexiness into it.
Didn't you? You saw U2 in Atlanta just a couple of years ago, didn't you?
It wasn't that long ago. No, I haven't seen them in Atlanta, I don't think. Or have I? Did I see them?
Wow, I've seen them so many
I've seen them in Toronto.
I remember Roxy talking about it when we were at JD's. I think it was
She went to New Orleans a couple of years ago with the gals. That was the Joshua Tree album, although they played tons of other songs off other albums as well.
which ones, Lee? Which album?
let me just pull up the New Orleans set list for you. Let's go through these. Now that's a good song to start with. Oh man, that's awesome.
I still have so many questions about this.
I did it, mate, but I like them. I'm in. This is the only channel I want to listen to.
Oh, that's the thing. I got right back into them when they got their own channel there on Sirius. Because, you know, I sort of drifted off as well. I haven't heard them for a while. And then they then on Sirius, because, you know, I got hooked on Sirius.
Yeah.
And they said, U2's got their own channel. A lot of other bands have had their own channel. Like Bon Jovi had one. Billy Joel had one. But I don't think they're permanent. U2 seems to be permanent. So I might try to squeeze another five in too.
All right. Pick'em results from last night. We were all wrong, gentlemen. We all took the Bucks. We thought they would go back to back in covering and victory over the Heat. It was looking good for a minute, but the Heat, you know, said no, not on our watch, and they got the victory. So they easily covered the 6.5 line. So that's an L for everybody. We all had Milwaukee. Someone should have swerved for sure. Trey, you're 2-4. Tass and Lee, you're 3-3. I'm 4-2. We're going to do this for the rest of January, or when we get into January. So it's not over yet. Trey has not lost. And you know what? We won't even pick a game tonight because we're not going to be back till Monday. We're taking tomorrow off, of course, for January 1st, and then we got the weekend. We'll be back on Monday, and then we'll start making our picks again. We'll have all month of January to battle it out in our pick'em contest there. All right. What a wild, weird ending to our 2020 podcast. Email us your questions and your comments to nodunks@theathletic.com for our Beach Steppin' podcast, where we answer all your cues next week. Immaculate items available at nodunks.com. Go grab those. Check out the other great podcasts on the Athletic Network. Love me some Daily Ding. Love having that back in our life. So go check that out, as well as all the other great NBA podcasts. And that's it. Happy New Year, everyone. As I said, we'll be back on Monday. Stay safe. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, FKU2 2020.
Embrace the new year, people.
You could stay.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.